Oh, great. Please, let be seated. Oh, gracious and holy Father, give us wisdom to perceive you, intelligence to understand you, diligence to seek you, patience to wait for you, eyes to behold you, a heart to meditate upon you, and a life to proclaim you, through the power of the Spirit of our Lord Jesus Christ. As English is not my second language, I always find some words to be interesting in how similar they sound. Humility and humiliation would be one such example. But these two words could not be further from apart. As a contractor and a roofer, I often draw my sense of self-worth and sometimes even start to build up my pride on the work that we do. Seeing some of the work that's been done, there's definitely a building blocks for that. I often find myself, like, especially after a period where, you know, like, we're doing good work, and I find myself saying things like, our roofs don't leak, our jobs run smooth, and we do our best work. And when I'm repairing leak repairs, we often, like, between my friend, who's my key foreman, and myself, we often take pictures of the bad work and then send it to one another, saying, it's like, oh my God, look at these hacks. And it's like, let's just put it this way. This was exactly what I was doing last night at 9:30 after receiving a call at 8:30 that there's water coming through in the house. And when I got up there, let's just say, I don't know who put that metal roof on, but I just, like, I often find myself struggling with this. Like, you can find a mug online they sell. It says roofer vocabulary. Now, for the longest time before I worked in construction, I didn't swear for like 7 years, but in some cases, you just can't help it. It's hard to say, you know, like, first thing is, like, when you see something like this, it's like, oh my, and God at that point doesn't really come to my mind, especially at 9:30 at night with a headlight on. So there's definitely a premise for that, but I also find that nature, especially during these seasons, there's plenty of opportunity for grounding, despite how good we are. One such example was just this Wednesday with the windstorm that we had. So we were doing a job that the roof is recessed within a larger roof, and we knew that, you know, like, with the seasons, we built a big cover with that. So it's like 35 by 17 feet. 2x4s, 2 foot on center, covered with poly, so we could lift it up and we could work inside, which we were doing on Wednesday. We were short-staffed, so it was just me and my friend there working through the day. What we didn't consider is in the recessed roof, when we're gluing down the membrane, the glue doesn't really evaporate very well. So after about 9 hours, we were feeling a little hazy. So, like, we just, at 4:30, we decided to call it quits, and then as we were leaving the job, I looked at the weather forecast, and I saw that the winds are coming up. So, and then the next day I was off, so I turned to my friend there saying, like, hey, maybe we lower this thing? He's like, nah, that thing is heavy. I'm like, yeah, you're right, that thing is heavy, it's not gonna go anywhere. Next morning, he's working there by himself, but luckily we have also, other trades that we work with often that are on that side. He sends me a picture about like 8 o'clock as I'm on the ferry. That thing apparently was lifted up, pushed over just by a foot, so it like fell off the props that we built for it, and then fell right into that opening. Luckily, with the other trades, he was able to pull it up and put it back in, but just that moment there, we were thinking, like, good thing that thing just didn't blow right over and, you know, like, just did a whole bunch of damage. That would have been a whole lot worse. But that, in that moment, that was a bit of a humbling moment, because, like, everybody can make mistakes. And in our pride is what I find is where I lose my, I would say, self-awareness. And this is something that we find more in the spiritual realm today within our scripture. The Pharisee stands apart, both physically and spiritually. His prayer does begin with gratitude, but quickly turns into a self-congratulatory list. God, I thank you that I am not like these other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. He's speaking to God about himself. His prayer is polished, but it lacks repentance. He doesn't seek mercy because he doesn't think he needs it. And we might ask ourselves, how often do our prayers sound like that? How often do we measure our own worth by comparing ourselves to other people? Finding comfort in the idea that at least we're not as bad as somebody else. The Pharisee isn't condemned because of his obedience and the good things that he does. He is condemned because his righteousness has become his self-righteousness. And his gratitude has turned into pride that serves to elevate himself above other people. In contrast, the tax collector stands far off. He doesn't look up to heaven, and he beats his chest, a gesture of grief and repentance, and utters one of the most powerful prayers in all of our scripture. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. No eloquent words, no defense, no excuses, just the truth. And Jesus says, it is this man, not the Pharisee, who goes home justified before God. What's remarkable is that nothing about the tax collector's external situation changes. He is still a tax collector. He does what he does for a living. But something changes in his heart. He is honest before God, and that honesty opens the door to grace. This is the heart of Christian prayer. Not performance, but presence. Not perfection, but surrender. The Pharisee's problem isn't that he is doing good works. It is that he uses them as a mirror for pride, rather than a window to God. We do live in a culture that encourages constant comparison. On social media, in our workplaces, even sometimes within the church. But comparison is the thief of compassion. It blinds us to the image of God in others and tempts us to forget what we do. We too stand in the need of mercy. Humility, in the Christian sense, is not thinking less of ourselves. It is thinking of ourselves less. It is remembering that everything that we have and everything we are is a gift from God. That's why the tax collector's prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, has been repeated for centuries in an ancient Jesus prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. It is a prayer of humble heart, the prayer that keeps us close to grace. But there is something else that this passage today reminds us. In one of the most beautiful works of early Christian church is the hymn dedicated to the incarnation of Christ in Philippians 2, 5 to 11. One of the two main ideas of this hymn is the theme of kenosis, or emptying of Christ. Who, being in very nature, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather than he made himself nothing, but by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on the cross. Some research indicates that this hymn was written in Aramaic as early as the 30s. And because of its great popularity at that time, Apostle Paul had used it in his epistle. It is very telling that from the very beginning, early church was aware that God's actions towards the human race, and in particular, the incarnation, life, passion, death, and resurrection of Jesus, were not only an expression of God's immense love, but also an expression of God's extraordinary humility. In this context, the passage in Luke presents a simple, contrasting parable with one basic message. Humility before God is the only right and acceptable attitude for a human being to have. And I would even say humility in life also keeps us more aware and present. No one should compare himself with another in hope of justifying himself. The fact is that God accepts everyone in trust and mercy without assuming that anyone has any right to receive blessing for his work. The assurance of this mercy has been made available to all through the ministry of Jesus and his sacrificial death. And the guarantee and assurance of salvation that we receive through the ministry of Jesus is based on God's mercy and grace, not on anyone's work and merit. I would even say that through that grace, work and merit find their way. So what does this mean for us as individuals, as a congregation, as the church? I would say that it means that we must be a people who pray like the tax collector, with honesty and dependence on God. It means that our worship should never be about proving our worth, but about receiving God's grace. It means that our communities should be places where sinners find mercy, not judgment. When we truly grasp God's mercy, humility no longer feels like humiliation. It feels like freedom. We no longer have to pretend. We can't be honest about our failings because grace has already met us there. And with that, let us open our hearts as we pray. Great and merciful God, today's parable invites us to bring our whole selves before you, the strong and the weak, the confident and the broken. It reminds us that your mercy meets us not when we are proud, but when we are real. So come, not boasting of what we have done, but trusting in what Christ has done for us. For everyone who exalts themselves will be humble, but anyone who humbles himself will be exalted. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.